Welcome to Thursday morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Hope your day's off to a good start, or maybe you're doing a bit of cleanup from the storm that swept through your area last night. Were you part of the storm? Tornado watch, hail, certainly a lot of thunder and lightning and rain. We've had a couple of text messages that have come in this morning showing doorbell cam video from last night in the northeast corner of Saskatoon with one heck of a light show. I actually said to the one person, Diane, I think was her name, I said, is this a time lapse? Basically, did you take 4 hours of video and cram it into a 1 minute? She said, no, that was just live captured from our doorbell cam. The light show was something else. The lightning, all coming from northwest of Saskatoon. I know we've heard the Aberdeen area, Waka. There's a few places that received quite a storm last night. If your area was one of them, I'd love to hear from you or even see a picture. 1-877-332-8255. I know people like to poke their head out the window and maybe take a picture of the hail if it's coming down, because we're hearing reports of large baseball-sized hail in parts of the province, marble-sized in other areas, which, of course, this time of the year with all the crops ready for harvest, many of them, most of them still standing, that can do a heck of a lot of damage. So thanks to those that have texted in this morning at 1-877-332-8255. If you have something to share, if you've got a picture, we would welcome that on the show as well. Well, it's good to be back. Had a couple of days off at the start of the week this week. We just a little getaway for a couple of days. Thanks again to Brent Lokes for setting in. We had a nightmare getting home thanks to the Air Canada strike, which proved to be a real challenge. And I'm trying to keep it in perspective, because ours was just a short little, basically long weekend getaway. For many people, we were sitting in the Calgary airport for a couple of hours on Tuesday night talking with people who either A, had missed significant events, significant things like weddings, things like Canadian athletic competitions that they weren't able to get to, major conferences, those types of things. And we chatted with a number of people. There was a lady there with her daughter. They were from Toronto. They had gone to Vancouver for a competition. And their flight home, instead of being direct Vancouver to Toronto, they flew Vancouver, Portland, Calgary, Atlanta, Buffalo. And then the lady's husband was driving from Toronto to Buffalo to pick them up. That was the best. And they were only partway through. They were in Calgary, so they were only partway through their journey. But nonetheless, anyone that's gone through this, if you've got family members or if you've gone through it, will know, as much as they say Air Canada will work to try and bring about change for you and will, you know, reimburse you if certain criteria are met, that's not an easy process. It's in fact, it's such a tough process that many people just give up on it. Evan Bray's close to being one of those. We ended up getting another flight home with WestJet, but nonetheless, the Air Canada flight was a complete debacle and a write-off. And we had checked our flight information on Monday night. We were flying home Tuesday evening was the plan. We had checked the flight information Monday night at 11 o'clock. So late Monday night, we were just getting ready for bed. We thought we'd better check the information. We checked. No update. Still looked like the flight was going ahead. We got up Tuesday morning at about 6:40 in the morning, and we had a notice saying that our revised and changed flight itinerary had us flying out at 7. We had 20 minutes, 21 minutes, I think, if I'm being accurate, to get to an airport, which was about 40 minutes away from where we were staying. Obviously, we weren't going to make it, but email or the notice or whatever it was came in overnight of the change, and there's a lot of people that were in the same boat. So nonetheless, glad to be back in Saskatchewan. Again, thanks to Brent Lokes for filling in. And hey, if you've got an Air Canada story from that, maybe shoot us a text and let us know. I thought there was a great editorial this morning that was published in the Globe and Mail, I believe it was. So this is an editorial by the editorial board talking about the Air Canada strike. And this is, I'm going to read a paragraph from this. Put it as succinctly as possible, It was the sorry spectacle of a publicly traded airline overseen by a weak passenger rights regime in a government-protected concentrated market, clashing with a public sector union representing workers in a duopoly who are subject to a Canada Labor Code provision that limits their ability to strike according to the political needs of the federal cabinet. The whole article speaks to is a time that we let other competitive airlines into our market, including ones that are not from Canada. I'm maybe biased given the fact that we just came through this whole challenging situation, but I'm saying let's do it. Let's open it up. Is that going to give us better security when it comes to not missing flights, not having canceled flights, all of those types of things, avoiding the challenges that we've seen over the last little while, bringing in U.S. flights? Some people say, you know, it could hurt a province like Saskatchewan where we won't get more connect flights or more direct flights. We will have to connect with through Calgary, through Toronto, through Vancouver, because these big U.S. airlines aren't going to want to handle the smaller direct flights. And then it's left to the Canadian companies to try and pick those up. I don't know. I feel like competition often improves things for the customers. And in the airline industry, it feels as if competition could be very helpful. 1-877-332-8255. So on the story, thanks again to Charles Adams, who is an American trial lawyer, a political commentator, joined us just after 8:30 this morning. One of the things we talked about, and it wasn't actually a planned part of the conversation, but we were talking about the United States situation in Washington, D.C., where Donald Trump has brought in military to supplement the police in Washington to try and handle some of the violent crimes. Many people are saying this is a distraction. Donald Trump wants to take your attention away from the Epstein files. We've seen Donald Trump do this before. Think about the whole renaming of the Washington Redskins team, the Cleveland Indians. Clearly, some of those moves are distraction moves. Let's get some other headlines in the media to do this. But I did find it interesting that, you know, one of the points Charles was making this morning is the pendulum has swung too far. And he was talking in the United States to protect the criminals as opposed to the people who are being victimized. And it right away brought me back to the story that I know was talked a bit about on this show with Brent yesterday. The Ontario resident charged with assault following a home invasion. This happened in Lindsay, Ontario, which is just about half an hour outside of Peterborough. 44-year-old man sound asleep in his apartment. He wakes up to find an intruder inside his unit. An altercation ensues. The suspect sustains serious life-threatening injuries, and the homeowner is charged. Aggravated assault and assault with a weapon. This is another example of a system that, to me, has the focus, the priority, the leniency swung in the wrong direction. I think about through the years, how many times we responded to a call. And this actually brings one to mind right away. A gentleman in the Rosemont area of Regina, which is a pretty humble little area. This gentleman was probably in his late 70s, was asleep in his home, his wife there with him. They're both in their late 70s. He hears a noise. He gets up. It ends up being an intruder who was basically, it found him in the living room. He was going through a drawer in the living room. Homeowner picks up a bat, swings it, hits the intruder on the back. Intruder flees, is caught by police. In fact, I was in the unit that we were able to catch him, arrest him, take him to cells. Yep, he's got a pretty big mark on his back, complaining of injury. Policy is when we're taking someone into detention, if there's a complaint of injury, we either have to have EMS come and check him out there or take him to the hospital. We ended up having to take him to the hospital. He gets x-rayed. He's got broken ribs. He complains about the injury. He wants the homeowner charged. Prosecution and police put their heads together and ultimately decide it's not in the public interest to charge the homeowner, homeowner not charged. He was defending his property. In fact, aggravating factor to this, and it wasn't known at the time, but the suspect had a pool ball in a long sock in his jacket pocket. Now, there's only one thing you're carrying that around for. Thankfully, it wasn't used on the homeowner. But nonetheless, 78-year-old guy uses a bat, cracks or breaks the rib of the suspect who broke into his home. No charges laid. Now, each case needs to be looked at on its own merit. It's very, very hard just to put a blanket on this. But as you heard Charles Adams talk about, Texas has the extreme other end of this, where basically you can defend your home at all costs, even to the point of using lethal force. Basically, you break into someone's house, you can expect that dying is likely a result of their ability to defend their property and their family. The Saskatchewan law, is Canadian law need reform on this? 1-877-332-8255. You'll remember a couple of months back, we had a couple of criminal defense lawyers on the show talking about this that gave a pretty good understanding and definition of what castle law actually is in Canada. We'll revisit that conversation and hear your comments when we come back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Lots of different texts coming in about the storm last night. Colin from Mooseman saying, although they didn't get hit by a big storm there, north of town, 10 o'clock, lightning was so prominent that basically the entire sky was orange for a period of time. And it must have continued to move east because we actually have a text from Lisa in Winnipeg. One of the loudest thundering and most lightning I have seen since I moved to Winnipeg in 2007. So not only did the storm system move through Saskatchewan and a big part of it hit around the Saskatoon area, maybe just a little bit to the north and east of Saskatoon, although there was a belt there that moved from west to east for a big chunk of the province, but clearly into Manitoba as well. Lisa, thank you so much for that text. 1-877-332-8255 if you want to share pictures, videos, storm stories from last night, we'd be happy to hear them. The other thing we're talking about is the situation of the 44-year-old male in Lindsay, Ontario, asleep in an apartment, wakes up at 3 a.m. to an intruder breaking into his apartment. An altercation ensues. The suspect ultimately sustains serious life-threatening injuries. There are people on the text line that are saying, hang on a second, hang on a titch. Do we know what exactly happened? No, we don't. We don't know the exact details. So someone pointed out, you know, is this a case where the person was incapacitated and then the homeowner continued to beat them even though it was not necessary? Was it a one punch and he's down kind of a thing? Was it a trigger pull? Were there weapons involved? All great questions, and all questions that until more information comes out, we don't know the answer to. But it does stimulate the conversation about your ability to protect yourself and this pendulum that seems to be swung in the direction of and in the favor of not the homeowner or the person being victimized, but also ultimately the person committing the crime. So I want to go to the phone line. I've got a few calls coming in on this. We'll start with Justin in Prince Albert. Justin, thanks so much for calling in. Your thoughts, I know you're a person saying castle law needs to be beefed up in our country.
100%. Like, if there's no risk or repercussion of these guys breaking into people's houses, assaulting people, robbing them, they don't think twice about doing it. Like, I was home invaded two separate times randomly. I woke up one night and there was four guys in my bedroom. They were trying to steal the phones off our nightstands, completely ransacked the whole house, stole vehicles, so I had to chase these four guys out of the house, tackled one of them, got one of the phones back, and, you know, there was another time, even shortly before that, it happened. So it's just, when it doesn't happen to you, you don't think about it, but when it continues to happen to you, and you haven't done anything to anybody or anything to warrant that, you know, you feel like you should be able to protect yourself
100%.
Especially when they have weapons too, right? There were weapons recovered after the fact, and you know, so.
Yeah, and I mean, you probably, I mean, you're making quick split-second decisions in that situation, Justin, where you probably, did you even think about weapons when you decided to chase the guy down?
No, because it already happened once before. So I woke up, and then there's four guys in the bedroom. I didn't have any clothes on. I chased them right out of the house, tackled one of them. It was quite a show, but.
Jeez. Yeah, it's, I mean, there's so many stories of it. And I think we can't overlook the fact that we're asking people who are not necessarily, yeah, some might be, but not necessarily trained in making these sort of swift decisions. You are in an extremely heightened sense of an emotional state when you are awoken to someone in your home. And then we sit back and we judge very critically the way in which you protected your family, the way in which you protected your home. This has got... This whole conversation has been kept alive by the fact that Premier Doug Ford is fairly worked up on this. He did a bit of a talk in the news about this yesterday.
Did everyone hear about the story in Lindsay? So this criminal that's wanted by the police breaks into this guy's house. This guy gives him a beating, and this guy gets charged. Like, and the other guy gets charged. But like, something is broken. I know if someone breaks into my house or someone else's, you're going to fight for your life. This guy has a weapon. You're going to use any force you possibly can to protect your family. I'm telling you, I know everyone would. I'd be scared to break into Kevon's house. Look at he's like a linebacker. He'd beat the living crap out of the guy, as he should. Enough's enough here. Violence and breaking into people's homes, putting guns to their head, and guess what? Some bleeding heart judge, little Johnny, he didn't have a good upbringing, so we're going to let him out on bail five more times because he's on his fifth, being let out on bail five times, just to go do the same thing the next day. I'll tell you one thing, I get more calls than anyone in the country. People are done with this. They're absolutely done. They're finished. You should be able to protect your family when someone's going in there to harm your family and your kids. You should use all resources you possibly can to protect your family. And maybe these criminals will think twice about breaking into someone's home.
That is Premier Doug Ford yesterday on this home invasion. I know we're getting more calls in. 1-877-332-8255. We'll also hear from a criminal defense lawyer who talks about what that balance of proportionality is when we come back here on 650 CKOM, 980 CJME. I'm really enjoying the conversation on the text line. So Art in Saskatoon pushing back on the theory, you know, hang on a second, we should find out the details. Was there a weapon present? What was the confrontation like with the homeowner? Art is saying, hold on a second. Do we know the whole situation? Jeepers. I didn't invite this guest over at 3 a.m. The muffin is going to get hit. Art, thanks so much for the text. 1-877-332-8255. What do you think? Are the laws too lax? Or maybe another way to put it is, are the law interpretations favoring the wrong people? Are the criminals getting the benefit of the doubt as opposed to homeowners, property owners, when it comes to protecting their property? I want to go to Fred in Regina, because Fred, you actually have a story, correct?
I do. A long time ago, I think about 20 years ago, a friend of mine is coming out of the bar, and lo and behold, somebody is kicking in his truck. And he says, stop, and the guy doesn't stop, so he punches him. I don't know if he broke his nose or his tooth. I can't remember right now, but he was charged and convicted of assault. And he asked the judge, he said, look, the guy was kicking in my truck. And the judge's response was, property can be replaced. So he was charged and convicted of assault. And that affected him because he also was a hunter. And, of course, you can't own firearms, if you're convicted of a violent crime.
Right.
Isn't that correct?
Yeah, it absolutely puts those restrictions on, for sure. It is something that can be appealed and removed, but it would take work by the person who was charged. Yeah, this so Fred's situation, you know, some would argue maybe is even a step different, because that is a situation involving a vehicle in a parking lot as opposed to someone breaking into your home in the middle of the night. You heard my first guest this morning, Charles Adams, talk about they have laws that actually give a different level of protection to homeowners if the offense is happening after dark. So someone breaking into your house at night versus something happening on your property during the day. 1-877-332-8255. Mike from Saskatoon, when it comes to protecting your home, the laws are wrong. The second someone with ill intent puts one foot on the step of your home, they have made a choice. They've given up their rights to protection. Maybe not on the outside of the property, fair enough, but inside your home is completely different. Now, if you remember, this is actually going back a couple of months. We had a couple of criminal defense lawyers on the round table of justice, Brian Pfefferly out of Saskatoon, Kathy Buetti out of Winnipeg, and we talked about Castle Law. And I asked Kathy, could you give us the description of how Castle Law reads in Canada?
So if we think back to medieval times when your home was literally your castle, and you would have to protect it from thieving marauders and intruders, you were allowed to protect yourself. And it meant you could bear arms, and we see that a lot in the States with this whole notion of every homeowner can have a gun and things like that. So that's where the principle gets its roots from. But, I mean, it's only to a certain point. Yes, if somebody tries to break into your home, yes, you can try to use some force to deter them, to scare them off, but it has to be proportionate force. That doesn't mean you get to bludgeon someone to death just because they're trying to come in through the front door.
So part of the conversation that followed from that, and I asked Brian Pfefferly this question, is how do you measure proportionate force?
It harkens back to the first topic, is why you pick a jury trial. I think it's everyday people are the best people to decide this. We think of our own fears, and Kathy's probably been to the cocktail parties where you get asked the question, like, can I shoot someone if they come into my house? And the typical answer is, well, it depends. There's a whole host of factors that are considered. And so the things that I would suggest is that when someone enters your home or attempts to enter your home and they know your home, that suggests to me that they may have some weapon with them or some potential to use lethal force or something quite serious. They factor into things like size of the person, if they're armed. But in Canada, as Kathy says, we don't have the ability to shoot people or physically harm people to the point of causing their death if they just are stealing your property. But if they come onto your home, it's a proportionality thing. So it's extremely subjective. It looks at the totality of the circumstances of what you're looking at. And again, I think that juries are great for these types of cases. Well, I've ran cases with self-defense in front of the jury, in front of juries before, and I think that is one of the best things about our country and our jury system, is that everyday people get to determine proportionality. And there's that old saying, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. I think that's an apt description, and most people can understand that. If someone breaks into your home, most people would be prepared to go to jail before they'd be prepared to die or let their family die. And I think that's fundamentally what most Canadians think. I think Doug Ford is actually speaking in words and language that a lot of people support.
That was Brian Pfefferly a couple of months ago, and Doug Ford back in the news talking about this topic again. It makes me think about, you know, Brian mentioned it depends on a lot of different factors, one being the size and the physical ability of the two people. Well, I remember another situation where the criminal that broke into the home was about 16 years old, broke into the home, no one was home, middle of the night, and is going through the bedroom, going through the drawers. Homeowner shows up at home. Homeowner is a shift worker, was actually a tow truck driver, was about 6'5", 340. Not a small man, catches criminal in the bedroom going through the drawers. Two punches, and then holds on to the criminal for us to get there. We got there. The criminal was begging to get in the back seat of the police car. Two punches is what he gave this criminal, and then held him down on the floor. Black and blue eyes, no charges laid. We had a discussion about it. We noted it. We actually got a statement, of course, from the victim, from the homeowner, who articulated what he did, why he did it. He actually wasn't sure he had a roommate who he wasn't sure if his roommate was home at the time or not. Ended up the roommate was not. But all of this, of course, playing a factor in he's not wanting this guy to get away with what's happening. And so decides he's going to throw a couple of punches. Wasn't an excessive amount of force, was definitely force that did damage. This 16-year-old had a couple of pretty good bruisers on his face, on his eyes. But again, after long discussion, no charges were laid. That's the right decision. 1-877-332-8255. Let's keep this conversation going. I wanted to jump. Let's take, I got a couple of people on the line. Let's start with Jerry in Regina. We're talking about the pendulum and if it needs to swing back in favor of homeowners, of victims of crime. Jerry, what are your thoughts on this?
It'll never swing back. It'll never swing back because we don't talk about who's doing the crime. And when somebody is not convicted, they will change the laws so that a person, the next person up probably will get convicted. I'll give you two examples. You talk about Rosemont break-ins. So that used to be a good neighborhood. Okay, well, right across Pasc was another neighborhood that there's a lot of problems in there, okay?
Yep.
And so we got a thing that the Liberals passed a long time ago called the Gladue Report. They might as well just put a stamp on it that said your first murder is free. And after that, you got a guy like Gerald Stanley, who's defending his property. They changed the laws that you can't, when you're putting a jury together, they've changed how you can do the dismissals of who you're putting on your jury. Same thing happened down east. Lady gets on the stand. It was just like To Kill a Mockingbird, lies through her teeth. And those five boys are still guilty in the court of public opinion. The criminals around here rule the roost. And I would caution anybody, I would tell anybody, you don't give statements. You're a policeman. You know this. You say, I feared for my life. You put a GoFundMe together and you'll be taken care of in this society. And Doug Ford, what's he even talking about? I mean, that guy was a hash dealer in Etobicoke. He knows all about it.
So Jerry, you're saying that unless political ideology changes, we're not going to see a change in how we're policing this country.
You will not see a change. What Donald Trump did there with the bulldozers, he pushed them all out of town. He said, we used to have this in Regina. There was no loitering around. There was none of this. You weren't allowed to do that. And the very idea that you would have to, if somebody's in your home, that you would actually have to do a second thought as to what's going to happen to you versus what's going to happen to them. They want this to happen. There's got to be something behind it. It's complete chaos. But I would tell anybody, if you got someone in your home that isn't wanted, you do what you got to do, and don't give a second thought to it.
I wasn't sure what was going to come out there, Jerry. The advice you're going to give to homeowners. Anyway, I was about to do a quick disclaimer. Remember, this is not paid political advice. This is Jerry, always appreciate your calls. 1-877-332-8255. Let's grab one more call before we go to the break. Jace, who's a regular listener, a regular caller into the show, you have a bone to pick with my first guest, Charles Adams. What is it, Jace?
Well, he says that, you know, that Washington was a dangerous city and that's why, you know, Trump had to put the military in Washington, and now crime is way, way down because the military's patrolling. Washington's not even in the top 25 of dangerous cities in the U.S. per capita. Like, I'm looking at the list right now from 2024. Per capita, they're number 38. Now, if you want to go after dangerous cities, there's a lot more cities you can go after. And, like, you want to talk about dangerous, violent criminals. Well, according to the statistics, Washington's crime rate has actually been down the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even, like, what about all the violent criminals that Trump went out and pardoned for the coup attempt 5 years ago? Like, those are now just walking the street, not to mention the 34-time felon sitting in the White House. Like, well, if you want to talk about law and order, start with the people at the top.
That's it's interesting, Jace, because that was part of the reason why I wanted to ask Charles Adams his opinion on that, because I was very, very critical, if you remember, back when Trump first got in and pardoned all of those people that were involved in the January 6 riots that happened in Washington. And so, you know, Is he trying to address a problem there by bringing in the military to supplement the police? Is it a perception issue? I mean, what you heard Charles Adams say this morning is, while crime stats might show crime is down, they still have issues in parts of the city. And often the people that are marginalized, the people that are victimized the most, tend to be the people that are the minorities. So he talked about the Black community and how they are disproportionately affected by the crime in Washington. More people, 90% of violent crimes, I think was the number he gave out, 90% of violent crimes committed against people of color in Washington, D.C. So is this an issue where this, we need to have some level of enforcement that deters this crime from happening, holds offenders accountable, and sends a message? I know some people were taking exception with what Charles was saying, but his perspective, and that's why we had him on the show, was to hear that. 1-877-332-8255. I've got a few more texts I want to get to. We'll take a break. We'll come back and continue this conversation here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Text line has been busy, 1-877-332-8255. Busy for a couple of reasons. Number one, still getting some storm pictures and videos. Gosh, the lightning storm in parts of Saskatchewan last night was incredible. And I say that knowing that it's not about the beauty of the storm. Sometimes storms can do a lot of damage, and we did see that. Trees uprooted, damage to some crops. Hail, of course, went through in parts of the province. A video got in here, a text. Last night in Willow Grove, not sure if it was a real funnel cloud. It came and went very quickly, but there's a video here, a little bit grainy, but you can see the cloud, basically the funnel cloud kind of move through the camera as you watch it. So thank you to everyone who's been sharing their thoughts on the storm and some video imaging as well. So back to this topic of question is how are you able to protect your home? What's the balance of rights that you should have to protect your home? This is a situation. You just heard the clip I played from Brian Pfefferly, who talked about the force that you use has to be proportionate to the level of threat, the crime being committed, all of those types of things. I feel as though that needs to be more strictly adhered to when it's police responding. So a police officer who's got training, who deals with these situations all the time, has an ability to look at a situation, hopefully without too much emotion getting involved, and make a decision on what level of force is needed to hold the suspect accountable. If you're a homeowner, it's completely different. If you're a homeowner, let's be honest. Number one, you are going to be amped up. Your emotions are going to be high. You don't know, and some people are pointing this out on the text line, you don't know if the suspect has a weapon or not. And so the force that you use, knowing you're amped up, is likely going to be fairly aggressive to protect your property. And so this, you know, and I'm saying this, assuming that this happens in the courts or before a charge is even laid, that there's a bit of a recognition that this proportionality issue looks different for me the way the criminal code expects the police to respond to it versus the way it expects everyday people to protect property. Now, even that, you can extrapolate it further, protecting property like someone stealing something out of your yard, stealing a bike from your backyard. Even that is a lot different than a break-in in the middle of the night that you don't know what the jeopardy is, what the danger is to your family. Dexter from Assiniboia, how can you be equal in force when you don't know what the criminal has for a weapon? Two, you should be allowed to use force to make them back off and think twice about making contact with you. Lots of people agreeing with Dexter on this issue. Thank you to all of the people who have been texting in and joining this conversation. We'll try and weave a few more of your texts in throughout the show. It's been a robust conversation on open phones this morning here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.